the Bible reading. But for the Bible reading, I felt that it would be better if it had some drama. So I need two people who would be willing to be, I need one who will be a tax collector who's super proud and thinks they're amazing. You don't have to be super proud. This is acting. You pretend. And then the person on this side, I want to be the tax collector who feels very bad and terrible and won't even look up. So does anyone feel like reading anything out? Because if you don't, it doesn't matter. No stress. I'll dob in my husband and we can do it. But hooray. Come forth. Anybody else? Huzzah. You guys are awesome. All righty. Oh, lovely. You are green and you are blue. And Maddie can do the other bits. So what I might get you to do, it might be easier if you're all mic'd. So did you want to go up there and be mic'd on that one? And do you want to stand up behind the mic there? And you can stand wherever you like.
Thank you.
To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed,
God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all I get.
But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said,
God, have mercy on me, a sinner.
I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. People were also bringing babies to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. But Jesus called the children to him and said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." This is the word of the Lord.
Most excellent. Now, I got that wrong because I should have had Quentin standing over here, and I can't remember your name, and Lockie standing over here, because I'm going to keep going this side for the Pharisee. So imagine that Quentin was over here and this side for the tax collector. All right, I'm going to start in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you speak to us through your word and that you speak to us through each other. I pray, Lord God, that tonight you would speak to each one of us personally and that you would confirm your love and your calling and the importance of each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm excited to be here tonight, so thank you very, very, very much for allowing me. But as always, I like audience participation. So when I ask a question, I'm going to ask for a response. So this first question, what I would like you to do, what I might get you to do, can you put the first slide, the next slide up? Oh, is that mine? No, that is not mine. Oh, okay. Let's use our imaginations. Hooray. So over this side, we have the Pharisee. The Pharisee is very proud and looks religious. And over this side, we have the tax collector and they look really sad. So what I want you to do is if you think the answer is the Pharisee, point that way. If you think the answer is the tax collector, point that way. And if you're not sure or you think the question is irrelevant, point up. So question one. Who was the hero of that part of the story? That's hilarious. So most people think either irrelevant or that side. Oh, that was actually a very good answer. Who's the villain? So that side or irrelevant. Very nice. Excellent. And why? Why do you think that's... Yell out an answer. Why do you think that this person is the villain? Oh, do you like my drawings? I drew those on my tablet. That's my art. So, any reason why you think this person might be the villain? Self-righteousness, very nice. And at the start of the reading, you said to people who are assured of their own self-righteousness. Why do you think it's irrelevant? That's okay, we'll leave it there. That's fine, you don't have to think any further. So I love what Darrell Bock says in his commentary of Luke. And he says that the religious man is so impressed with himself that we're left wondering if God should put in an application to be his assistant. Because there's no acknowledgement of God, apart from the first word, God, thank you that I am so magnificent. Beautifully done by Quentin. All right, so if we move to the next part of the story where the disciples prevent people from bringing their children to see Jesus. Now, you need to share answers to this one. Why did the disciples prevent people from bringing the children? Because they're messy, possibly. Jesus had more important things to do. Why would he bother with small people, really? Yeah, great answers. Okay, very good. So, if I'm speaking too quickly, please let me know. I have a habit of speaking way too quickly and I need to pause more. So, please let me know as I go if I'm going too fast. So, the children were insignificant in that society until they were old enough to be useful. So, if children could go out and work or if children could provide some kind of service, they were useful and then, you know, maybe they could have seen Jesus. But Jesus should be dealing with the men and the women and the people who are very important. And we could argue then that all of these stories and all of these individuals, so the Pharisee, tax collector and children, their value was based on how much good they do and how much use they are to God. And then I could just say, so be like the tax collector, hooray, and send you all off and that could be the end of the sermon. But it's a little bit more complex than that. So what's happened since those days that makes things different for us? Correct, we do our taxes online. All right, so if we look at this drawing, back in those days where you had the two that were coming to pray, it was normal to look up to heaven and to pray. That was normal. So the person on this side looking up to heaven and praying, that was totally normal. But the person over here who wouldn't lift their eyes to heaven, that was not normal. And that was, and what we see there as well is that they were coming to the temple because they had to give sacrifices to be cleared of all their wrongdoing. Yep. But in our time, the difference is that after telling this parable, Jesus then went to the cross, died in our place, and he made everything right between us and God. So in terms of our goodness, whatever goodness we do is like filthy rags, blah, blah, blah. But we are reliant on God's righteousness. Does that make sense? You'll get it? Yep. So Ephesians chapter 2 verses 6 to 10 goes on to say this. Hooray. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. And this is the key. For it is by grace that you've been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So, I'm sure that most people, if not everybody, at some point can relate to the tax collector. I'm sure that everybody at some point has been in a place where they've thought, God, I've done a lot wrong. I don't think I can show my face to you right now. Or you felt, I don't know, I don't have time, I can't do it. You just, you know, for whatever reason, you're in a place where you don't feel like you can lift your head to God. But what is the issue if we relate too strongly with this guy? I'm not going to expect it. I've worked you hard enough. I'll give you some answers instead. So you can feel like you're a sinner. You can feel like you're unworthy. You can feel like you're pathetic. You can feel like you're unlovable. And you can become too aware of like a stench of sin and get stuck in what the Bible describes as worldly sorrow. So there's a thing called worldly sorrow, which is where you kind of have a spiral downwards. So if we go to, yes, there we are. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. But worldly sorrow brings death. And the idea of that is, if all you're aware of is your sin, then you have this shame, and the shame makes you feel like, well, maybe I'm not good enough for God, and maybe I shouldn't be with those people, and maybe I don't really feel like I should go to Revive or go to 6 p.m. or whatever. Maybe I'll just deal with things myself because I'm a bad person. And that is a spiral, because when you separate yourself out, then you're more likely to feel bad about yourself. You don't have anybody to lift you up, and it can lead to really bad places in your heart and in your life and in your decision making. But what God says about godly sorrow, when godly sorrow happens, you think, oh no, I've done the wrong thing. Oh God, I'm really sorry that I've done the wrong thing. Help me, Lord, to get into a better space. That leads you, you're looking up. And it means that you need that encouragement from your friends and your brothers and sisters in Christ to be able to bring you up and lead you forward. I need a drink. Sorry. Excuse me for a second. Thank you, Jesus. So as a kid, I was the youngest of three kids. I was an accident. Sorry. But it sort of meant that for my whole life, I felt like I was too much. I was, you know, not really meant to be part of the family. So in that case, I had to be the best at everything. So I had to be good at sport, and I had to be good at studies, and I had to be good at everything. So I was, you know, I've got medals for rowing, I've got medals for swimming, I've got medals for athletics and tennis, and I can speak two languages fluently. And all my young adult life was about being the best me I could be by working really hard. But if I look at all of that, even if I am really good at all that stuff, even if I do win stuff and can be stronger and fitter and whatever, is it me that has really made myself that way? My husband's there. No, it's God. God gave me all my gifts. God made me who I am. Psalm 139 says that, you know, he knit me together in my mother's womb. The reason I'm this way is because for some reason God thought I needed to be exactly as weird and as happy and as language-oriented as I am, because he needed someone like that in the world. But what it really meant was that as a Christian, if you could bring up the next one, it meant that I ended up spending all my time sliding between this person and this person. It's like, oh no, I'm going terribly. I'm such a bad Christian. I'm awful. Oh, I need to pray. Pray, pray, pray. Oh, I'm getting better at praying. Well, I'm better at praying than that person. Gee, actually, I'm so good at praying now. Look at me praying. I'm great at praying. Yeah. Oh, that's fantastic. Oh no, I've fallen down again. Oh, I'm terrible. Oh, I'm such a terrible person. And you end up, you don't even think you're doing it. I found myself doing this just the other day. The other day I was doing something and I'm thinking, oh, if only that person would, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da, then they'd be fine, you know. But then you realise that that attitude is actually really rubbish and it's just serving to push other people down. It doesn't actually do anything to help anybody. So, in the scripture, Jesus commended the tax collector for his humility. And he said that he was justified because he was relying on God's grace. And today's sermon is called Hope for the Humble. So if we look a little bit more closely at humility. So humility is the feeling or attitude that you have no special importance that makes you better than others. It's a lack of pride. Next question, this one you have to answer. Does this say that you have no special importance? Well answered. So the key there is better than. It doesn't say that you have no special importance. I'm important. You're important. You're important. We're all important, and no one is better than anybody else. So the Pharisee walked away unforgiven because he thought he was better than the tax collector and therefore more deserving of God's blessing because of everything he had done. But we are not valued according to what we've done. The fact that you're here means that God wanted someone with exactly your height, stature, gifts, wanted someone with exactly your sense of humour, wanted someone with your intelligence. And there are no mistakes. You're all important. And there is no one on earth who's better than you or more deserving of God's goodness. And in fact, I would go so far as to say that none of us, in our own strength, are deserving of God's goodness. So how do we deserve God's love? It's explained in Romans 5, 6 to 8. You see, at just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So my goodness and my good acts don't make me look better to God. I'm just going to hold this in my hand now. It's because of everything that Jesus did when he died for me. So this brings us back to the children. If we can go to the next bit. So people were also bringing babies to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. If we go to verse 16, Jesus called the little children to him and said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." So we think that the children look like penguins. I think they look like penguins, but they're happy and they have large eyebrows. So we need to receive the kingdom of God like a little child. Little kids have no idea of the worth of their actions. Levi is super impressed with those pictures. And there is nothing that would stop Levi running to his mum or his dad at all. It's like, you know, he could scratch Joyce in the face and he could, you know, wipe poo on the wall and he'd still run to them as though there was absolutely nothing wrong because he doesn't value himself by his actions. He just knows that he's completely loved. And so it's like that with us. If you've made a decision to follow Jesus, even when you stuff up, you can come straight back to Jesus with the confidence that Jesus has dealt with your sins. But I'm not saying that then we go off and we just do whatever we want and sin all the time and, you know, steal a car and burn down a house. What I'm saying is that as we come to Jesus, like if we're like those little kids coming to Jesus, you want to do what Jesus likes because you want to make him happy because you love him. Yeah? So, last example to explain all of this simply. It's very simple anyway. Like you probably didn't need this whole bit. So thank you for humouring me and staying with me through this. But the two trees. So if we bring up the two trees, and we'll leave this one up here for a little while. So if we've got the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil was all because people wanted to be like God. They wanted to be able to judge what's good and evil. And the tree of life is the tree that leads to eternal life. Yeah? If you eat of the tree of life, then you live forever. And then if you bring up the next one. So if you want to eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you'll spend all your time swapping between being a tax collector and a Pharisee. What's good and what's bad? Oh, that was really good. I'm good. Oh, that was terrible. I'm bad. And you don't get out of that cycle of judgment of yourself and others. But if you're hanging out with Jesus, like the little children, then it's like eating from the tree of life. And then you're free of all of that. And when you're free of all of that, it makes it so much easier just to live. So if I look at, for example, why I'm good at languages, I can speak French like Joyce does. So for anyone here who's studying Year 12 French or University French and vous voulez parler français avec quelqu'un, vous pouvez parler avec moi et Joyce, we would be delighted to speak French with you. But why am I interested in languages? Well, when I worked with the Aged Care Assessment Service, I learnt various sentences in Italian, so the little old ladies who I was speaking to Italian wouldn't be scared of the weird lady coming in to make terrible assessments of them. Or I learnt French so that I could teach French Bible studies and I could go and work in the Democratic Republic of Congo and communicate with people in a language they understood. So my language skills aren't for my glory, but so that I can communicate with others and communicate the love of God. And same with your skills. So whatever your skills are, I would say just submit them to God. You don't know how he's going to use them. Some people run for God. Some people are legal lawyers for God. Some people are GPs for God. You can do anything for him. So, in conclusion, if you are feeling bad about yourself, stop it. If you are feeling better than others, stop that too. We need to remain humble, like God's child. And if there's anything out of tonight that you've heard and you feel like you need to make more sense of, come and chat to me or one of the other leaders or someone who's brought you tonight. If you don't really get what it means to be living on this side with the tree of life and what all this sort of difference means, come to Alpha. It's a great safe place to be able to talk about ideas, and it's a fantastic opportunity to be able to learn about what it is to be free in God. And we listen and we don't judge. So we want you to be free to be everything that God wants you to be. I'm going to pray. But yeah, if you need any other support, come and chat to us afterwards. Thank you, Lord. Put down the coffee cup, it feels irreligious or irrespectful or something. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you that we don't have to live in a place of constantly trying to be something or constantly trying to monitor our behaviour or constantly trying to fit into a mould that wasn't made for us. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would set us free to live in that freedom that you gave us, that we would live talking with you in our everyday moments, that we would pray about even the small things because you're interested in our lives and you made us to be who we are. Father, I pray that we all would be able to walk into this week knowing that you're with us. And I pray, Father, that more and more we would grow to look like the people that you made us to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.